No, creo que lo aprendí.
Hello.
Hi.
This is la mami.
And this is la Bibi.
And this is the
San Carlos Computer Club intro from November 16th, 2021.
Ooh, we're on our way to
art class.
Woo! Today we're going to be doing
Christmas trees.
Christmas trees out of noodles.
Noodles?
Yes.
I didn't know we were making them out of noodles.
Yeah. I got the whole thing.
So are we going to dye them green or what are we going to do?
Well, I bought a spray that is silver color.
We're gonna make silver Christmas trees!
Christmas is one of my favorite holidays.
It is? You like all holidays.
Yes, I do like
all holidays. Like your favorite holiday.
Hey, remind me, I gotta stop in the gas station to fill up the tire in the back.
Alright, we're gonna use this as a reminder.
Going really slow, cause
cause she's about to be empty.
A tire that is...
Oh.
And I should hit a big hole in there.
Well, it's not just gray.
Yeah, this road is not in good shape.
Nope.
The road to Loma del Mar is really bad.
Yep. Well, what can we do about it?
New mayor should do something about it, that's for sure.
All right, in conclusion, we need a better mayor.
Well, we have a brand new mayor. She's only been in the 3 months.
We have a female mayor. When has that happened? Common thing?
This is the second female mayor in a row.
This is our second female mayor.
Yeah, the last one was a female.
Our second female mayor, and she has not been working on the road.
Well, to be fair, she only took position like 3 months ago.
That's true. Give her a break. The past mayor should have done something.
Yep.
Just get in here. The complaints are already filing.
We are in the main road.
Don't forget to stop at the gas station.
I'm actually on my way there, so we're going to be a little bit late.
It's okay. It won't be our first time.
Class.
It won't be
but,
our first
there's
time.
A dog in the road.
Street dog.
You know, that happened exactly in the last intro with me and Emily.
Really?
There was a dog on the road, and he was almost ready to cross the street. So
that's the thing. It's a pretty common thing to see dogs going across the street. Now we just let the dogs do what the dog want to do.
That's correct. So we almost going to be pulling into the gas station. So I think...
We should end it?
Yeah, we should.
All right.
This.
Well, that was the intro from La Bibi.
And La Mami.
Take on,
people.
1 second. So I was reading in a Reddit stream that... The question is, as you've gotten older, what are you finding more annoying? Or as you get older, what is it that didn't bother you that bothers you now? And I'm reading through it, realizing that all these answers are coming from people feeling they're old at 30 years old, maybe 40 years old, because not one of the answers is pain. Like, it's all stuff like TikTok makes me annoyed and young people make me annoyed. And I mean, just this whole list of things to be annoyed about. I'm like, where's pain? I wake up in the morning sometimes. I feel worse than I did when I went to bed. I'm only 51. Where's pain on this list?
In a new mattress.
Yeah.
Can't dunk anymore.
Can't dunk anymore, right?
The only thing I can dunk is donuts.
That's a good one.
Well, I wasn't able to dunk in the first place, so I'm happy to blame that on age.
Now Jim has disappeared.
Oh, he was with us for a moment. Heard him laughing. Is he back in San Carlos? I know he was working his way there.
I thought he was last week for some reason. I thought he was at his San Carlos home, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen him if he is here.
How's your internet, Judy?
Good.
Good? Stable?
I'm still in one.
You're using both right now, right?
No, I just use one.
Oh, what about your fiber optic connection?
It's just sitting there on. I don't use it, but it's on.
Well, you're paying for it though, right?
Oh yeah, but I've been paying for a phone the whole time and internet the whole time with them.
Yeah.
I never canceled any of that stuff because it gives you free long distance to the US and Canada.
And cell phones.
And cell phones, so...
Yeah, and it's just so dirt cheap for the.
It is. So I just did never cancel it.
It's going to go up, right? The first month is the same, and then it goes to.
We'll see.
50 or 500 or something.
We'll see what happens. Hey, Maggie.
Is it?
Hi, boy. I can barely hear you guys. I'm not sure why. I'm on my
speakers.
Phone. I'm going to try to get on the internet.
Okay.
Because I have a great question.
Oh, good.
You told me you did.
So, Paul, to reiterate, are you saying that those fiber optic contracts in Loma del Mar have a start price and then an initial discount price?
Well, tell me.
Now, remember, Scott, I sent you that paper. It's not just Loma del Mar. It's everybody.
And I think it goes up from 35 to 50. Some things, I don't know whether it's
It goes up from 380 pesos to 500 and something pesos. It doesn't go from 35. It's 380 pesos per month for phone and internet.
I'm sure you know it, but when you're in the States, if your phone bill approaches, you can pay it online through Telmex USA.
I pay mine all the time, Telmex USA.
Hi, Linda. Welcome.
And if you pay $100 US or more, you don't get a service fee on your credit card.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, too. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Judy. Hey, Scott. I need Juan's phone number.
Okay. Let me see if I've got it right here. You're on WhatsApp, right? Okay.
Linda, what? The number is 622-855-3090.
If you could get Juan's service and be able, because I've got the TV all set up for TV, but it just, if someone's on a computer, you can't get anything, and it's jittery, etc.
So you got that number I gave you?
Yes. So, thank you.
And it's better to talk to him on WhatsApp. He answers right away.
Okay.
Yeah, or Facebook Messenger. He's good at answering that too.
I have a question.
Fred.
I was beginning to think I had the wrong day.
I have a question, Scott.
Go ahead, Paul.
I try to call a friend here on a landline, my landline to his line, 622-226-1007, and I get a recording in some language I don't understand. And then also on my cell phone, I use the number that I've used all the time on my cell phone, which is 622-226-1007, and it doesn't even dial. So I have to use Facebook, stuff like that.
Are you talking about a San Carlos landline?
Yes.
Okay, I was just in the Telmex office. We have internet, but no phone service. We haven't for the last month, and I just haven't had time to go in. There were seven people in line in front of me, all with the same issue. And the answer was, there's a problem, and we're working on it.
Oh, the age-old answer.
So, yeah. I mean, in this case, I think your point is they could be having a problem with their phone line, like one of these kinds of problems. I've had some weird phone experiences recently where I didn't get any dialer. I didn't hear it ring. And it either disconnected me or it connected me directly. The person that was receiving the call, it took a long, like I should have hung up because I didn't hear any ring, and it took forever for it to go through, and it was just a blank pause. But
I have no idea what would happen if someone tried to call me, because my phone is just dead. When I pick up an extension, it says your base is not connected, and I've tried everything, and actually had time this morning to go to Telmex and go online.
Well, we've talked about this in the past, but what's going on is that there is two different technologies coming through the same cable, and the phone technology has failed you, whereas you've still got the internet technology. And I've described it before to you how the box looks like. You go from your home to the post to a telephone box. And at the telephone box, you've got your home coming in one side, and then you've got this patch panel and another device. And for your telephone to work, you're supposed to go through the internet device, this other device, this box, up into the patch panel to the office. So if you could imagine, there's three cables coming to this box. One from your house, one from the office for telephone, and one from the office for internet. And that one from the internet plugs into an internet box. And if you just have phone connection, it goes straight across. Whereas if you have phone and internet, it goes into the box and then comes out of the box and goes into the phone line. And so it's very possible to have internet running across that line and not phone, and vice versa. This may or may not be related to your dialing problems. I think what's important to state is that what Judy said is you're dialing it correctly. It should be 10-digit dialing. And if you're using a cell phone, well, all my phone numbers, I dial them 12 digits for the Mexican numbers and 11 digits for the US numbers, just to keep it all straight. great, and it works fine.
You use 55 for what?
52. You do the plus 52, 622, and then the 7 digits for the local number.
Okay.
And for my 52. U.S. numbers, it's plus 1, the area code and the number. Right. We've hit that time. Give me just a moment. I just want to say hi. Welcome. Bill and Cheryl are with us now. The club may begin. It is 10 o'clock on Tuesday. I'm Scott Stimson. We are the San Carlos Computer Club, and we've come here to rain hell on tech topics for the next hour or so. Welcome.
And there's a bad feedback. So I'm going off, and I'll be back.
Hey, Fred, I think I'm hearing myself, and I'm watching on the monitor as it looks like you're talking. Yeah, I don't know if you can see.
I haven't said a word, but I was going to.
Okay, well, my voice is echoing back through your microphone. Maybe your speakers are up too high. Maybe if you turn them down a bit, there wouldn't be that echo. And please add into the conversation.
I'm on headphones.
You're on headphones, and I don't know if you can see my monitor. But when I talk, I get audio feedback from your connection. Maybe unplug the headphones and let's just see if it goes away. Oh, well, muting it goes away too.
It's you, Scott, because I went off and back on and I still get feedback from you.
So you're hearing.
It is definitely Fred. He just muted his microphone and it went away.
Everything's beautiful.
Yeah, I heard it.
So, Fred, what were you going to add to our discussion? Please unmute.
Well, your page that you put up initially inviting everybody.
Yes.
If you put a countdown clock on it, we wouldn't have a problem with the time zones.
Oh, that's a countdown clock on the page. Or just put the correct time zone in the page. So when you look at it, I'm not certain how I would put a count. Oh, maybe you're talking about the blog post, not the Google Doc, but the blog post on the website.
No, the one that you get on the
in the email
in the morning telling me where to go.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. It would be an embedded clock that would be like it would be an HTML embedded clock. Some of you folks would have security that would block it. You'd have to turn it on to see it. But is that what you're talking about, Fred?
Yes.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. I'm going to add that. I hadn't even thought about that. Countdown clock.
Well, right now we're on 3 different time zones that I know of, and I'm not sure where Alaska is.
Well, I kind of like that suggestion because it would also encourage people to go back to the email for the links and things that I include in it, so you're not losing track of the email.
And for us, I think we're only in 2 time zones. We're in the furthest south point in the South Point Casino Hotel in Las Vegas, and I can see California right there out the window. So we're going to be in 2 weeks. We will be in the exact same time zone as everybody because we'll be in San Carlos.
Great.
Yay.
Very cool.
I'm on Central Standard Time.
Where are you?
Oh, he's in, right. I thought you were in the States still, but I keep
forgetting. You were in Oregon.
I'm in Costa Rica.
Oh, that's right.
So what time is it in Costa Rica?
Right now it's 11:07.
11:07. So you're an hour ahead.
And we're 9:07.
Well, what we want are reports from the future, Fred. Give us some future reports that are an hour ahead of us. Hey, Chester, welcome.
Good morning.
So
I just wanted to say hi to Maggie before we go any further. Maggie, I saw your posting.
Yeah, I commented back to you. Thank you for being so kind. we're not real thrilled about this, but we aren't leaving San Carlos. We just need, our house has 7 steps inside, and it's getting to be too much for my husband. So we're looking for something on one level.
So you're looking to sell your old house and buy another house?
Right. Want to buy it, Scott?
No, not right now.
It's standing up. It's a beautiful location.
Hey, by the way, there's a $1,000 cash finder's fee if you send the buyer.
Okay.
Keyword buyer. Buyer is a keyword.
I'll keep that in mind. You have a great location there. You might consider keeping it for Airbnb. I bet you could make a lot of money.
That's the last thing I want to get involved with. No, thank you. We're guaranteed
to rent it for 4 months for the next 10 years.
I would trust you. We just remodeled the entire front, put in new windows, new hurricane shutters, new curtains throughout the entire house. And we were going to do the kitchen next. And there's just no point. You know, it's we have to move. So
it's just four.
At least they get to stay in San Carlos. Seven.
Oh, seven.
And it's too much for the living area is downstairs, the bathroom's upstairs, and it's too much for him.
Yeah, I was going to say you can't go a day without taking steps in your house. Your steps are an integral part of your house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you want to go outside and go around, and then there's fewer steps and they're wider. But no, it's just, I mean, if he ever becomes wheelchair bound, what am I going to do? You know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Can I ask a question as long as I have your attention?
Please do.
I've already brought it up with Scott, and it's like I told Judy the other day, it's a puzzle to me, but probably very simple to the rest of you. We have been paying for US TV now for about a year. And every now and then it'll buffer, but, you know, it's been fine, tolerable. All of a sudden, about 3 weeks ago, it got so bad that we just turned it off. We couldn't even watch it. And it gets really bad from about 4 to 7 at night. And I imagine that's when a lot of people are viewing. Well, on a whim one night, I got out my iPhone and opened US TV Now and watched it with no buffering at all. So I hooked my laptop up to the TV and it worked terrifically for 24 hours and then back to horrifying. So I'm just wondering if the TV's old. It's a, what is it? It's a, oh, you're going to laugh when I tell you. It's a Roku TV and we bought it because it was only $200. It's not a smart TV. And I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, smart TV, but yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's a Roku TV. It might not be a very smart TV. It could be a dumb smart TV, but by definition, it's a smart TV. Sorry.
Okay.
I can't keep my mouth shut. I'm still talking. I'm sorry, Maggie.
Well, that's okay. So I'm just wondering if these newer TVs have something built in that where the TV runs directly off the modem. I don't understand. Somebody gave me some suggestions and it went in one ear and out the other. Do I just need a new TV, a more up-to-date TV?
Well, you're using US TV Now. That's an app that runs on some of the most basic of a streaming platform. I'll let Linda comment as well, because she's definitely got a lot of insight into this topic. But are you certain that you've eliminated internet as being not, I mean, if internet's not an issue, then definitely we're looking for a different solution. But what you're describing sounds like internet issues.
It's not the internet, because everything else seems to work fine. And also, we also have Telcel. So we unplugged Infinitum and plugged Telcel in, and it worked great for 24 hours and then back to horrible buffering.
You know, your Telcel connection does have a limit on how many gigabytes you can use monthly. It's possible.
I know. We only had it hooked up for 24 hours.
But
I went into Telcel. I have plenty of gigabytes left. That's not the issue. The issue is something we can watch Netflix and Prime and all kinds of stuff with no problem whatsoever. It's just the US TV Now or US TV Go or US TV Now is not free, but the other free ones, they all do the same thing.
Well, let me say
Don't forget
Dave, hold on a second. Linda's been trying to get into this conversation and we'll give you a chance, Dave, right afterwards. Go ahead, Linda. I'm sorry.
Okay. We tried my TV box at her house and she had the same issue. She does not have enough internet to make these things, to bring these TV things in. Her internet is sketchy over there. So my TV box never worked at her house either.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
We don't have enough internet. We upgraded with Telcel a couple of years ago. We've got the basic right now. We upgraded to the maximum. No difference whatsoever.
Well, when you say Telcel, do you mean the mobile company or do you mean Telmex?
I meant Telmex.
Okay.
I meant Telmex.
Well, because, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Have you done a speed check?
Not recently.
The other problem is
you probably need like mesh network, and you need a pod over by your television that's picking up the internet. You're just probably too far away.
Yeah. I've been in your place, Linda has as well.
I don't think you're going to need buy the TV set.
You shouldn't need the kind of bandwidth that a mesh network would help you with. You should be able to do this thing. But I'm not convinced that you're not having an internet problem just from our own previous experiences in that location. You've had seasons where you've had to come back and have the internet. You were paying for it, but winds had brought down the lines and they had to be reattached. You've had other seasons where you've come back and you've had really lousy internet and it hasn't been repaired until it's been reported and fixed. I would really be doing speed tests to verify that you're getting what you're supposed to get. And I think that coincides with things working other than these free programs. Like Netflix is a perfect example, but YouTube as well. These organizations have data plans with companies like Telmex to put servers near you so that they are more readily available. So even in the worst of internet connections, that Netflix experience is going to be a better experience, even when you're having horrible internet. These servers are closer to you. They're dedicated to getting to you so much so that they'll lower the quality of audio and video so it'll fit through a lousy internet connection while you're watching it in real time. And they'll bump it back up as your connection gets bigger. They've got these auto-sensing protocols. And a lot of these free things like Kodi or Streamio or I would suspect USA TV Now, US TV Now, they're just not that robust of a solution. And so given some problems with your internet connection, you're going to have big problems with those programs.
Yeah. I just did a...
Let me ask a question.
Hey, Jim.
When are you planning to move? Sorry. Go ahead.
When are you planning to move?
When?
Yeah.
As soon as the house sells. Oh. We're moving because the internet sucks.
Yeah.
That's a good reason. I
forgot what I was going to tell you. Oh, I know. My neighbor has US TV Go, I think it's called, and he has an app on his phone, on his computer, his laptop, and he runs it from his laptop to his TV, and he said it works better than it ever did once he canceled Telmex. He's got Telcel now.
So he is using the mobile
even better
company.
Than ever.
That's what you're saying, is that he's using the mobile carrier. He's getting internet service from the cell phone network.
From Telcel.
From Telcel. Yes.
I plugged our Telcel modem in and it worked great for about 24 hours and then it.
See, I wonder if using that modem, you didn't use up your, because those contracts are gigabytes of contracts and video is a great way to just flush right through them.
No, we didn't. We didn't use it up, Scott, because I was in the Telcel office shortly after this experiment, thinking that I could upgrade for more speed, but I have the most you can get from.
Yeah, last time I looked at Telcel, it seems like they limited you to 10 megabits a second, like the slowest of the Telmex connection, but which is ample for streaming, especially if you have no one else in the house. Like if you don't have two teenagers living with you, it would be fine.
I don't have two what?
The contracts that they're offering are like 10 megabits a second guaranteed, which are solid, but would work just fine if you didn't have, like me, two teenagers living in the house using internet 24/7. It would be ample for doing Netflix.
Oh, here's another interesting one. I don't watch TV during the day. I'm too hyper and I'm too busy. And a couple of weeks ago, my husband wasn't feeling well, had a really bad earache. So the TV never went on during the day. Well, I turned it on about 4 or 5 o'clock to watch the news, and it worked perfectly all night. So I have no idea what's happening. I was going to tell you something else, but I can't remember what.
A lot of those programs
depend on the traffic, because when people put football games on and they put everything on around here and all these people come in on the weekends, the internet's not very fast.
So I was just going to ask if anybody wants to share DirecTV. Remember when we used to do that? buy it and one person's name get three boxes?
Well, the problem with DirecTV down here is you have to buy this huge antenna that's very expensive.
No, you do not.
They've changed the whole...
No, you do not. I still have my same old antenna. And knock on wood, it works fine.
Then I'm wrong.
But we were told that we had to buy because DirecTV was changing. And then they got so much flack from people, I think, that they backed off of that change. In the state, not necessarily.
Well, here's a problem with an antenna. We're down in a hole and it won't work. A dish will work, but an antenna will not work.
Yeah, as long as you can get it on the right.
Remember that guy from Edmoseo? I can't remember the name of his company.
Oh, you're talking about for internet.
He was hooking a lot of people up.
You're talking about for internet.
Yeah.
Oh, TLC or TCL or whatever they were called.
It's basically X-Pro, another company like X-Pro.
Well, darn.
So, do you have DirecTV in the States?
No, I don't. Oh. We don't have any property in the States. So I have to find somebody who does.
But well, hopefully wherever you move to, you'll have more stable internet. You'll have more options open to you. There are a lot of places around town getting fiber optics now. It's very possible you could be...
I thought they had it on the cable call, but apparently they don't.
Well, it seems like they've
Loma
got...
Del Mar is...
Yeah, it seems like they've got it on one side. For some reason, I'm thinking they have it up in the Caracol. But in your area, they don't. out there
and
in
Loma
Shangri-La.
Loma Del Mar is getting fiber optics. Right, I have it now, but I use Juan, so...
Well, and then Juan was telling me the other day that he's working on upping the contract to a 1 gigabit a second contract.
Nice.
So that would just be more internet through his service for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And if Telmex, as far as I'm concerned, if Telmex does raise my price, then I will ask them to come and remove the fiber optic and put my phone back in.
I bet they wouldn't even worry about it. They would just, the phone. Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting because they'd have to put the phone back. They'd probably just leave your phone line and cap your data. So you would probably, you'd probably still plug your phone into that fiber optic connector, but they'd just not give you any bandwidth as far as data goes.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, that's funny. Well, Maggie, I'm sorry for your TV, your U.S. TV Now woes. I don't think we have any good solutions for you. It really feels to me like it's going to end up being an internet problem you're dealing with. In your house, it seems like it's always been an internet problem, whatever the issue is.
Yeah, but Scott, for the last 9 months, it's worked fine. And now all of a sudden it doesn't. So I even had this crazy idea, well, maybe if the phone line worked, this would get better.
Well,
something changed between we left here middle of August and the middle of October.
I would do some speed tests. Okay. It's a very, very easy way to eliminate it from your
expires
problem.
Every 24 hours.
I'm
and
sorry,
therefore,
what was that
it makes a new connection. And if you do not connect to the old one, you will very likely, not do things. So the simple solution is frequently powering stuff off and restarting with a fresh lease.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just restarting your equipment.
So just one, that's a good idea. But just one more question. The other thing we did, we turned off all our phones and our laptops to see if it would make a difference, and it didn't. So why does it work so well on my iPhone, but not on my TV?
The different IP connection with a different link.
That you don't need to answer that yet.
Well, and actually, it could even be more nuanced than that. Most of the modern operating systems run a system where it's balancing your Wi-Fi with your data plan. It might be that you have that turned on right now. And so you would have a potential of using internet from two different sources on your phone. Does that make sense? Oh. You could be using internet from the cell network and coupling it with internet from your Wi-Fi network, depending on how your settings are set on your phone.
Tell me what to look for.
Cheryl's got her hand up. What's going on, Cheryl? What's up with you?
Well, I'm just wondering. I've been hearing that there's some issues with power and inconsistency with power in the San Carlos overall, and I'm wondering if Maggie's having any kind of electrical power issue. And I also, on the side, on the computer club, I'm wondering about if surge protectors help in this situation, just on all of devices.
Yeah, in general, voltage regulators help. Surge protectors protect. So if you've got high voltage or low voltage, you can fix it with a voltage regulator. If there are peaks, if there's surges of electricity that are coming down the line, that will damage equipment, and a surge protector will help with that. And we've always recommended using the two devices in conjunction or buying them as a unit, a voltage regulator with surge protection. I've always...
So what does the voltage regulator look like? Do you attach it to the breaker? What do you do?
Well, a voltage regulator in Mexico is typically about a 300 peso device that is a box that sits on the floor that you plug into the wall and you plug your devices into it. The idea of it is it's a very raw solution. If your voltage falls down below a certain voltage, like say it falls down to 105 volts, it'll typically bump it back up to 115 volts. If it goes above 130 volts, it'll bump it down to 115 volts. The worst case scenario is when this thing is having to bump all the time. It's not a great solution. If your electricity is going up and down regularly, that's got to get fixed. The voltage regulator, there isn't a product that really fixes that problem. The voltage regulator will give you some short-term relief, but if it's happening frequently, then that's got to be sorted out with the electric company and your electrician. If you run typically at a high voltage and there isn't much you can do, like a steady 130 volts, then you'd get a voltage regulator and it'd drop it down to a steady 115 volts.
So when we're renting a place,
mm-hmm.
Walk me through, how do we check the voltage? How do we, like, we'd have to, if we need a voltage regulator, you plug it into the wall, you have one for every device?
Well, for every location that you're plugging devices into. And then...
And it's got one outlet on it?
Well, it's got typically 4 to 6 outlets on it. It's like a power strip, but it's wrapped around a regulator. Now,
okay, in my home in San Carlos, I had a whole house voltage regulator. They're very large. They're about the size of, you know, like this. And it controlled everything, all the 110 volt downstairs. And because everything that I wanted to protect, like refrigerators and TVs. And the problem I had was high voltage coming off the line. And this did a nice job of keeping it at 115 to protect all the equipment. It's not a voltage surge protector. It is a voltage regulator.
For the whole house,
it was very expensive.
Yeah, and in this case, Cheryl's concerned about the rental she might be staying at. What kind of protection she should get for that? And these regulators are very common in Mexico. They're a lot less common in the United States. I always encourage people to get one here because they're reasonably priced and easy to get.
You can get them at Walmart.
Yeah, you can get them at Walmart, Sam's Club. Judy, did you want to add something?
Yeah, years ago, Big Don used to install them.
Well, you're thinking of the surge protector, the house surge protector, I think. He used to install
that. Oh, that's not
that.
A voltage regulator?
No, a voltage regulator uses a relay to bump up voltage or bump it down.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, and so, and this device, I don't have one. I wish I had one to show you. All mine are in use. I can't just pull one up, but it's just a box. It has outlets on it. You plug it into the wall and you plug your devices into it. Now, I recommend that you either buy one that includes voltage suppression or buy a separate voltage surge protector.
That's what I was going to ask you. Could you plug a surge protector bar into the voltage regulator?
Yeah, and there's some disagreements on this, but I think the appropriate way to do this is you plug the regulator into the wall, and then you plug the suppressor, the surge suppressor, into the voltage regulator. And my logic, yeah, my logic behind that is that when the regulator is doing its job or it needs to do its job, it will induce a surge into your system. While you're using the computer, if there's a voltage drop, the regulator is going to change to bring it back up. And that change is a surge in itself. And so you are fixing the voltage problem and protecting yourself from the fix, if you follow
so
me.
So it might be worth it to purchase the voltage regulator here in the U.S.
No.
We're going to have a Walmart shopping trip.
No. You want to buy it in Mexico. We don't we don't have voltage regulation problems in the U.S. It's a very, it's a top-of-the-line marketplace for equipment in the United States, and they're more fragile in Mexico because Mexico has different voltage problems.
So Chester just said Walmart.
Yes.
Did you mean Walmart in Mexico?
Yep.
In Guaymas.
Yeah, right there in Guaymas or in Hermosillo.
I'm trying to figure out how to turn my camera around.
There you go. Oh, there's one. Yeah.
This one came from Walmart.
So this one, does it have the markings of a surge protector as well? It doesn't look like it.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So what this
it
would be doing.
It just says it's a voltage regulator.
Yeah. And so what this would be doing is taking whatever electricity is coming out of the wall and leveling it to 115 volts, either bringing it down or bringing it up. And
this was on one of our discussions a couple of years ago, maybe, and this came from Walmart.
And then good equipment like this, like I said, it might integrate the surge protector. I don't necessarily feel like it needs to be integrated, but it's convenient. It also, what's nice are indicator lamps that show whether the protection is active and whether your system is grounded. And so you should look for those kinds of indicators in your surge protector and your voltage regulator so you know you're plugging into a good outlet and that protection is working and active. I don't like to buy equipment that doesn't have those indicator lights. It's typically a little bit more expensive, but totally worth it. I mean, it's not a lot more expensive. It's like a $17 device versus a $20 device. But you get so much more information from the $20 device.
Scott, I can understand it reducing voltage, but how does it pump the voltage back up to 120?
Well, it's got a transformer. It what's it give up? It gives up current. It gives up current for more voltage.
Amperage.
Yeah, amperage.
What if you're having a brownout? You lose one leg in a rainstorm or something like that. And how does it boost it back up?
That's what Big Don sold. Don sold a breaker for that.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get these convoluted. That was a breaker, and we're talking about a regulator. Big Don's thing is good. I still have one installed at my house, and he used good technology, good information to build a breaker that literally broke. It would burn itself up and sever the line if your place got struck with electricity. If your transformer got struck with electricity or your MUFA got struck with electricity and that surge was going to follow the lines into your house, he built a device that would burn up and sever the lines so the electricity could not go into the house. That was all really solid stuff.
I have a surge protector for my refrigerator and freezer here in San Carlos. If the voltage falls below 90 in a brownout, the electricity is shut off. When it comes back up, it comes back on.
And if
it goes to 130, it does the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm a Cyber Power. Cyber Power makes a very good, high-quality, voltage regular battery backup device. Basically, what they're doing is trimming the high voltage. The low voltage is enhanced by using capacitors, which basically store power in it, along with a little combination of the battery from the battery backup. And so it's a very good high-quality one for your better equipment. I think it was like $10 more than a good UPS or about $75-$80, somewhere in that range.
Well, I had the old house protector for my downstairs.
I have that as well, a whole house protector on the breaker box in front. And so it actually goes from that breaker box to three different breaker boxes to protect.
Wait, and what you're describing, Dave, that Cyber Power is a good name brand for this kind of stuff. And the voltage regulator battery that they sell in Mexico is referred to as a no break.
It's a good quality UPS.
I'm sorry, Fred. I was just going to say UPS. In Mexico, the UPS the UPS is called a no break. And then the difference is the UPS in the United States doesn't have regulation. It has surge protection. The no break in Mexico has regulation, but no surge protection. They both have batteries.
It depends on the UPS you get. Some of the UPSs you buy, the output from the UPS is totally off of the battery. The input to the UPS is what charges the battery. So they're completely separate. You'll always get your 110 or 120 out of your UPS, whether you have bumps on the input or not, because it's running off of the battery power.
Right.
Yeah, cyber power is one of those that is regulated, and it's both a UPS and a voltage regulator.
Vest is one that used to do that. They're now under a different name. Yeah, I forgot what it is. S-Power.
S-Power.
But they were...
Is that what you said?
Good UPS.
S power or
yes, BEST.
Oh, BEST. Best power. I got you. And the other one that Dave was mentioning is that the cyber power with a C, right? I've had experience with that name brand. I've got a couple of those. Hey, Maggie, Chester. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask Maggie if she mentioned that Netflix works okay where your other system does not work. Is that correct? Netflix
correct.
Works for 24 hours regardless.
Yeah, Netflix and Prime are perfect.
Yeah. See, I still or think
I'd
it's
really a... be going crazy.
I was a little suspicious of your television, particularly with its age.
Let me read something a friend wrote to me. She has... oh boy, I just forgot what it's called. Let me find it real quick and
10-minute warning.
Tell her what. Okay.
Just let you know, we'll keep talking.
Okay, here's
but
what HughesNet. She has HughesNet, and she has HughesNet. They were having trouble with it, and the tech came out and realigned the dish and put in a new modem. And he said that we need a new TV that will connect directly to internet on modem, as opposed to taking it off Wi-Fi.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
That might be referring to the DirecTV streaming service that they're pushing, so that they don't have to maintain antenna connections, that you just need to maintain good internet and they'll stream you services, very much like Netflix and Prime, HBO Max, Disney Plus. That's what DirecTV's gotten into, is they've become one of those. They probably prefer that you do that because you become responsible for the infrastructure. They get to let go of the responsibility of the infrastructure at that point.
Well, if I were to pay for HBO or anything like that, it would come in just fine. You know how once in a while you get 7-day trial and then pay if you like it and cancel it if you don't. But Chester, I kind of agree with you. I'm just wondering if we don't need a newer TV. Our television sets, the one downstairs is probably 4 years old, the Roku, and the one in the bedroom is at least 12 years old.
None of these things should be affecting that app to run, though. Are you running the US TV app in the Roku? That's what you're saying? And you're thinking that maybe that it's not getting the kind of performance
It's
on the Fire Stick. So it has nothing to do with your TV because it's all related to the Fire Stick. The platform you're running that software on is provided by Amazon, not your TV. I mean, if that helps your head around where you... But still, I think you need to do some speed tests on your network.
I just did.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Let me find it again.
And, you know, I do have some topics that go ahead, Maggie.
7.26 download, 1.36 upload.
So are you, Judy, did you have something to say? Are you leaving?
Nope, I'm saying 8 minutes.
Oh, 8 minutes. That's all
right. She's crying.
So that sounds good for bandwidth right now. Why don't you do a series of speed tests like over the next 10 minutes to see if it stays at that range? And we'll check back in with you.
And after 4 o'clock when school's out.
Well, then that's the other thing is when you're having problems, you should immediately do a speed test and see if something has changed.
Okay.
So you can keep track of what's going on. Try and get a pattern to it. If you're getting those speeds and you're having problems still, then there may be something else going on. It's just right now the easy thing to prove whether it's a problem or not is the internet.
I think when they fix my phone, everything's going to be wonderful.
Well, and again, that would be the internet issue. That would be related to internet. Well, okay, so I hope you guys have the next meet code that we're going to switch to. I recommend getting it ready in another tab. We'll keep counting down this tab on this meeting. It looks like Judy gave us the 8-minute warning. How much more time do we have here? 6 more minutes to go. Maybe that's enough time for Jim to share his Garmin stories. Did you find your Mexican maps that you were looking for? Did you get a solution to it?
Can I ask the other Jim to please mute? I'm getting a lot of feedback through his.
Okay.
Jim Cunningham.
We got back in touch with the Garmin service people, and they explained that it would be about, they weren't going to give me the Mexican maps for free, and it was going to cost $100, but I could get them to send me a better one, a bigger screen and everything else like that for 98 Canadian pesos more. And so, and they trusted me to send the old one back. So
that
was the solution we took, because we don't want to go to Mexico with no maps.
Well, that sounds like the right decision. So it sounds like
it's
like they just sent you the wrong unit then. You guys had a conversation about a unit that would support Mexico. And when you got it, it didn't.
Yes. Yeah. So what happened is I chose a unit that would support Mexico, and then it was discontinued. So it didn't arrive. I called them back. They said, oh, that one's been discontinued. You can't have it, even though they charged me for it and everything, and said that it was, you know, they had got my order. And so they said, okay, you got to choose a new one. And I guess I wasn't as specific with the second person that I needed to have the Mexican maps, and she gave me options, and I chose another option, and that option didn't have the Mexican map. So the upgrade worked, or shall work. Let's hope that it arrives. We still have the old one that we never took out of the box, but I could see that it didn't have Mexico in it. So, and they trusted me to send it back to them. So I guess that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. And the way you describe that story, I don't feel like you were responsible for a large portion of that problem there. It sounds to you.
That's right. But at the same time, you know, I have to admit that the thing that I ordered, you know, if I were to have looked it up online and read all the details rather than listening to the person on the phone, I would probably have been able to solve that before all this stuff was shipped back and forth to Kansas.
Yeah, no, I agree. If you had been selling it to yourself, you probably would have gotten the right one from the get-go.
Yes, although this one has voice control, and it's got all kinds of things, bells and whistles that are way beyond what I probably need, and certainly what Carolyn and I could even figure out at this point. But it should last us for at least a year and a half.
Does your car have any smarts in it right now? Do you use any kind of?
No, we're driving a. It's usually in our motorhome that we really need it, and that's 1996. So it's
oh, okay.
It does have electricity, but not much else. And our car is a Honda CRV, and it's pretty old. It's 14 years old or so. So it's not going to talk to the car very much.
No. Well, cool. I'm glad that got worked out, and that makes sense for the question of why they would say it would work with Mexico, but it comes out of the box without Mexican map. I've got another follow-up. If you guys aren't following along on our document here, I'm curious, what did Cheryl find out about the phone, the prepaid $10 extra that you're having to pay? Did you get that sorted out?
I phoned, and I got a different customer service rep instead of chatting with one, and I explained to him my problem that my bill had changed by $10. Didn't mention the credit card expiry date or anything like that, you know, and he basically said, I can't see why they did that. And so he investigated a little further. He was on the phone for about 20 minutes, and he went away, he came back, and then he says, well, this is ridiculous. And he put it back to what I needed by adding another discount that. I said, is that just for 1 month? Am I going to have the same issue again next month? He says, nope, it's on there. You now get $40 discount for your auto pay
setup. So awesome.
We're set ready to go.
Find out what the discount is so the rest of us can get it too.
Well, it's when you have two phones on the same plan with AT&T, you get $10 off each plan's package. And we pay for the $65 a month package on each phone. They both get reduced by 10, then they both get reduced by 20 by giving them my credit card and telling them to go ahead and take it off monthly.
Wow,
perfect.
Did you say not 20%, not $20?
$20.
$20?
So, so it all comes down to we pay $40 on each phone. Anyway, so my bill, James, is $80 U.S. per month for unlimited phone calls, texting, and data in all three countries.
That's very good.
Hey,
yeah.
Cheryl,
good. We'll have one.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to praise you for your approach to talking to the other customer support rep, where you provided them with the information they needed to know and nothing else. And
yeah, right.
I will tell you guys, we'll have the most success dealing with customer support with this approach. I'm constantly having to remind my customers, nobody on the other end cares about your woes or your stories. They're not writing any of that stuff down. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried it. You have a problem. This is the way that it's manifesting. Can you solve it for me? And let them deal with it on their end. Cheryl's problem was very straightforward. I've always paid this price. All of a sudden, I'm paying $10 more. What's going on? And just let them solve it. There's nothing else you need to share with them. They'll come back and they'll ask for very specific things, and you'll give them very specific answers and be quiet. Because all you can do is get it more confused and more like going the wrong direction with solving your problem. So I wanted to praise you for your approach.
And the other thing is, don't accept the first persons and like, don't let it get you too stressed. Try again the next day. Because, you know, it didn't make any sense what the first guy said, and no matter what I said to him, he kept saying, did you make a change to your card? I had to clarify if he meant SIM card or credit card. And then I said, well, the only thing that's changed is the expiry date. And he said, well, that's it. That's what happened.
Yes.
So, you know, he took me telling him I changed the expiry date on my credit card.
Sure.
An excuse.
And maybe he doesn't
more.
Even understand. It may be that it's such a vague scripting of how to help people that any change could be considered, because he's just answering questions. And you run into that. You run into that in customer support all the time. You run into people that feel like they need to give you an answer. They are not satisfied saying, I don't know. Let me go see if I can figure it out. And you have to leave room so that ego can move out of the way. And sometimes you just need to hang up and find somebody with less ego, because you really just need help. And they're not helping at that point.
And I asked him if I could speak to a supervisor, and, well, no, I'm as high up as you're going to get and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was just wrong. It was a wrong experience, and the next day was awesome. So, his name started with F. I can't remember. I wrote it down so that I could do some praising. And then they never asked me my opinion on the call.
But in my experience, it never works to do a chat.
Well, that too. I wondered about that. And you guys are the ones that said that. You said I should phone and talk. The other one was the Amazon one. Remember, I was having such a hard time. They wanted to charge me even though we were on the free trial. We set up the Amazon free trial for Prime on our U.S. account for 1 month. And we've been doing our shopping. And we actually had them delivered to a lockbox. And that was a fun experience too. Went into a grubbier kind of part of Las Vegas, and on the street corner, like, the police pulled out of one side of the 7-Eleven Amazon box, and we had to punch the code in. The code didn't work the first time because Bill started typing. Step back. You do, because the doors swing open, you know. The door swings open on one of these boxes. Yeah, it worked really well, and we're going to have some more delivered to another box tomorrow.
You had enough lunch?
I'm purchasing a cell phone. We got one for Bill's new iPhone, which has the battery as part of it, so you can charge your phone and by charging the battery at the same time.
It's got a battery case, is that what you're saying?
Cool-looking case, so we ordered one from each.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's part of the case is a battery. And
yes.
Then there's the little,
Like
when you put the lightning cord in, it actually is always plugged in.
There we go. Yeah, it's a battery case.
Hey,
that's what they're called.
Can I ask a favor?
What's that?
Can I ask a favor?
Sure.
Can we get the computer stuff?
Oh, I thought technology was.
Well, it gets to be a long, drawn-out proposition, and now we're not talking about computers anymore.
Well, we're talking about iPhone.
So that's just my own.
In fact, I wanted to bring up another follow-up. I think Cheryl's finished there, but your follow-up when we were ranting about Apple and changing the screens and losing access. If you've got access to the document, I put a link to an article from The Verge that Apple is going to put out a software update to fix this problem. They're backing away from this issue. In fact, I'll stick the link right now in here. Linda, I don't know if you remember, but last week you were talking about how the new 13, if you tried to switch the screen, it would turn off functions of the phone and give you messages that the phone isn't genuine, that you don't... Are you remembering? This was your topic from last week.
No, I don't have Apple.
No, you brought up this topic last week, that the new iPhones, if you tried
about
to change
what?
A broken screen, it would screw up the phone.
Oh, right.
And so this is a follow-up topic from The Verge. They've written an article that Apple has backs off of breaking Face ID after a do-it-yourself screen replacement. And what Apple has said is that they're going to release a software patch that will make it so that you don't break the phone changing the screen.
Oh, great.
They have not announced when that software will be released, and without a doubt, it's going to break their security because their model is one where they give certificates to each part of the phone so that it can't be a counterfeit phone. Essentially, the Face ID camera, the finger ID, the storage, each one of these devices in the phone has its own unique number that gets a security certificate for the software to run. And this is the complaint, is that Face ID, when you look at your iPhone and it unlocks it, the chip that stores that ID number will not match with a replaced screen. So if you, as the consumer that own the phone, decide you have a broken screen, you want the guy down the street to fix it for you, then up until they finally released the software patch, if you got that guy to fix the screen, you would lose that security mechanism. That Face ID would just break itself. You couldn't use it anymore. There's nothing wrong with it, but because of the way they've assembled this product, it intentionally screws up that security system. And so now they're saying that they'll fix it with a software update, which is basically Apple saying, wait, don't get mad at us. We can fix this. And that
must
link
have been
is
a lot
on our
of feedback
document.
On that then.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And that was a topic from last week. Did you guys see that Russia was shooting missiles at satellites?
No.
No, this just happened this morning. It's new news. They actually sent an anti-satellite missile up to take down one of their own satellites. You'll be probably watching this on the news all day today because NASA is up in arms. What was
actually,
that, Judy?
I think it happened yesterday because they all had to go start reading their protocol in case there was a major accident.
That's right. The people in the International Space Station, they were cowering in their secure locations, right? Like in their suits under more metal than normal because a shower of debris was going to be coming at them. They in the article, they talk about how they have already, in this less than 24 hours, they have tracked 1,500 trackable particles right now. that are now part of, but then this, we have the debris field full of little, like, 1-inch pieces of material that are scattered across this orbit now, jeopardizing all future spaceflight missions. I don't know if you guys have ever paid attention to this kind of stuff, but they use computers and tracking to keep track of some of the smallest debris. Some of the most interesting videos that you could look up on YouTube would be this orbital decay of debris that they track by computer. They're tracing all this stuff. They know when things are passing by people that are out there doing work and when they're coming close to satellites that already exist. They keep track of all these things. Anything about the size of your fist, they're able to keep track of. And so Russia, with this demonstration of technology, not force, demonstration of technology, has just created chaos in our upper orbits.
Was it a dead satellite that they blew up?
Yes, it was a Russian satellite. I guess it was originally launched in 82, and it wasn't being used for anything, and so they used it as a test.
So are they feigning that they didn't know it was going to go like this, or like why would they do that? They send people up there too, don't they?
I don't think we've gotten a legitimate story yet. I think this
was a test.
What was that, Chester?
It was a test. Russia made a test to see if they could do it, which they did, and created a substantial amount of debris. And that's the complaint, is that the debris that it has caused, and they did it without telling anyone.
That's the part that we're waiting for a legitimate story about, is why wouldn't you realize that this was going to result in a debris field across this orbit? Is what would make your representatives think that this would be an okay test to do? And why wouldn't you warn anybody? Let people know you were going to do this.
It's kind of like kids playing with matches, you know? You can't, you know, if they're over six, they know what might happen.
Yeah, you know, in that context, that's pretty apt metaphor. It's like if you're going to just be striking matches out in that field, you know, there's a chance it's going to catch on fire. Well, that's like the latest news that happened. Judy, did you say it happened yesterday? I think it happened last night. I don't think it's more than 24 hours old. I saw it being reported on at 2 this morning, my time.
I heard it yesterday.
Yeah,
I heard it yesterday.
So the obvious question is, what were you doing at 2 in the morning?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I wasn't getting it at 2. That's what the stories were marked at 2. Did you see the latest? Are you talking about taking things back, like Apple has with the iPhone in their repair? Disney and TikTok have stopped censoring the gay, lesbian, trans words from their text-to-speech. Something I didn't even realize was going on that I mentioned to one of my children. Go, oh, are you talking about how Disney's censoring Rocket the Raccoon from saying LGBTY or T-I? There I am getting acronyms wrong. Any of that language, they're censoring that kind of language. I didn't even know it was going on until Disney has rescinded or TikTok has rescinded, and now those words are able to be spoken. For those of you who are not millennials or younger, TikTok is a platform for making very short videos. I didn't realize this until talking to my children. They've got a feature in it where you can write a script, and they have a text-to-speech option. So these videos you're seeing with really annoying voices, those are computer-generated, and they're generated by this app. That the voice is something that you can choose, and so there's a whole selection of different style voices. And Disney has provided some of those voices, one of them being Rocket the Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
So it would say, if the word gay or lesbian was in the text that you wrote in, it would just skip over it. But if you use transgender or bisexual, it would say it. So it was the term that was being used that was being censored. And when it got asked about, they immediately changed it.
Well, it's so obvious here. I'm going to paste the link here because what Cheryl's describing doesn't do it justice. You should watch the TikTok video in the article as they've written a script and you it flashes by so quick, you're like, wait, it didn't say the word. And you see it on the screen written and it reads everything in its entirety, and then it hits the word gay, says nothing. Hits the word trans, says nothing. Or I mean, I'm using examples, but I mean, literally whatever the word was that was being censored, it's being censored right before your eyes. It's much more dramatic to actually see it happen.
And it actually says in the thing that if you spell it out phonetically, it would say it.
That's like right.
Q-W-E-E-R. It would say the word.
And you could write the word gay with double Y's and it would say it. I mean, they immediately figured out how to hack this system intentionally to work for their advantage. And now Disney has come out saying, oh, well, this was a mistake. We didn't mean for this to happen. And so they've taken that back.
There was another piece of news that I found most interesting.
Oh, go ahead.
I think it was either Facebook or Amazon had 1 billion people in their facial recognition system. And they finally decided that that was so personal that they needed to get rid of it.
Okay,
you imagine?
So Chester, this is Facebook you're talking about. I heard this news this morning. I was listening to a couple of guys talk about it. The announcement is that they are deleting their facial print database, right? So this is...
A billion people. That's what surprised me.
Yeah. Well, it's not that surprising, because it was on by default. You had no control over whether they used it or not. And what they did is they took all of your pictures from Facebook and fed it to this algorithm. And so then you've got like hundreds of pictures that your friends have tagged with your name, or you've intentionally tagged as yourself. You've used them as profile pictures. This algorithm has all of this variety of colors and shades and different outfits and glasses and different facial hair to determine that is you, and that is your facial print. That is your digital, not a fingerprint, but the same idea of who you are. Then that print, that hash of you, can be used in other circumstances. And that's where
scary.
I'm sorry, Chester?
I think it's scary.
Yeah, it's... I saw it
on Facebook. Facebook made me a look through my pictures kind of thing, and it was where my face morphed onto another one of me in a situation. But it starts with my granddaughter, who is my stepdaughter. It's no blood relation. They identify my granddaughter in a triathlon as me, and then moved on to these other ones. So it's not just ones that are tagged. It's ones that are there. They also made one for our son-in-law, and it is his daughter's face that they have in the middle of this series of his face.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's strange they choose.
Well, what you're describing is like that picture there may be enough facial similarities that the algorithm could say, okay, maybe that is her, but that might represent somebody that's tagged you in that picture, and that's the reason it's gotten thrown into that. Like, that used to be a really popular thing to do. You take pictures of somebody's kids. Kids don't have a Facebook page, so they tag the parents with that picture of the kid. Now,
and it was posted on my wall, you know, so it was on my wall.
So it's all associated with you. I don't know if you remember, but we went through a period of time on Facebook where you'd put pictures up and it would tell you who was in them.
Yeah.
Right? And that technology didn't go away. It just scared the hell out of people, so they stopped doing it. They're still doing it for their own means, but that's not a common thing to have pop up.
I agree with Chester. It's scary.
It is.
But anyway.
Well,
I think it's very scary, and it's so monetizable that I can't imagine that, you know, it's not gone. It's just they've said it's gone, really.
The point these folks were making that we're talking about it is it doesn't matter if Facebook's facial print database is gone now. It's already been sold. It's already out there being used. It's already been created. There's no reason to believe that technology has gone away. They've if anything, this is just another one of those saving face moves from Facebook, trying to put out what they think is good press for themselves as they're moving forward as an organization.
Well, after all, it is called Facebook, or yeah. It was.
Well, that's right. There's some. What was the other thing that's happened recently? That
it's just called Meta recognition now.
Yeah, it's Meta. Meta is their all encompassing.
Yeah, Meta recognition instead of face recognition.
Yeah, Meta recognition. Well, that is. I don't have a link to that, but I did see that news this morning. Did you guys see the AMC theaters are now you're able to buy with Bitcoin their tickets? This doesn't matter to any of us. But what is very interesting about this, and it's worth going and watching some YouTube videos of this, of the what is he, the CEO, the CFO, I think he's the CEO of AMC, talk about how these armchair investors have really boosted the value of AMC. And I mean, what's interesting about this is you're basically talking to the head of the company, right? He's doing this interview and he's talking about how these people from Reddit, these individual investors, have really pushed up the value of this company. And they're the ones that are really holding the value of AMC up there. And he's totally treating them as the shareholders now. And so they are able to access him directly through forms of communication like Twitter, like Facebook, like Reddit forums. And he's doing his best to listen to them as the shareholders of his company. And so this is an example of that. They're going to start accepting Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies for buying movie tickets simply because their shareholders want it. Not because it makes economic sense, not because it's part of the grand scheme on how to save AMC. It's because they are the reason their company is worth so much at the moment. And in a shareholders meeting, that's the people they're listening to. He's just very enlightened about where this company is right now. He talks about the different directions this company will take. It will always have a foundation in theater going, in that whole movie theater experience. He doesn't ever see that changing. But with this kind of value, he sees a lot of openings in different directions for AMC. And he's approaching it as an organization that can do things other than presenting movies. I would check it out. There's an article here, and it will lead you to some interviews with the I think it's the CEO of the company. It's totally worth it, though. I think what we're looking at is the beginnings of the first meme company. I think Elon Musk would want you to think of his company as the first meme company, but I don't think his company has always been propped up by venture capital. And this is a company, AMC is a company that should have died during COVID. It was in great jeopardy of falling apart. And even though they figured out other financing, the reason that they sit on the stock market with so much value right now is because of these millennials that just said, that's our company. That's the one we're going to own and make worth a lot of money. That's the one that we're going to screw the hedge funds with their shorts, the stocking. And that's what's really elevated the price of this company to where it is. Does anybody have any comments on that? I'm just hearing background noise. I didn't know if that was somebody that wanted to talk. Anyway, there's a link there that I thought was interesting. Bitcoin isn't the point. The point is, look at this new generation of companies. Here's an old company that's making decisions based on what their new generation of stockholders would want from them. I got one more thing that I thought was cool, and I stuck it in this week's rundown of potential topics for our meeting, and that is the Ford Retro electric truck that I thought you guys could appreciate. I'll put that link right now in our discussion in the in-call meetings. But Ford has built a 70s concept electric truck. It looks like a 150 from the 70s. From the outside, it looks like your classic, you know, with the bench seat and the big motor and the big Like you're supposed to, I don't know, haul trees and construction equipment in it, but it's an all electric vehicle done in that style. And that's
same size as the old ones.
That's the impression I get. I'm definitely not an expert in this area, but if you look at the article, they've got some really nice pictures of the interior and exterior, and you would think it was like a 77 Ford F-150. It's just a beautiful classic looking vehicle. And they open the hood, it looks like something from Buck Rogers, but under with the hood shut, it looks like your classic 70s pickup truck.
What if they've got sound effects for the motor?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't remember reading that in the article, but you would assume they would, right? There's got to be some downloadable content that they want to sell you. Jim, you must have something going on in your background. I'm hearing something coming across your microphone.
Oh, it's the kids talking. I'll turn off my
microphone. Oh, no worries. I have just run out of my own topics. Do any of you folks have any topics you've brought to this meeting?
Well, I got a couple movies I watched.
Hey, let's do that. Let's do some recommendations. We're going to be running out of time pretty soon. What you got, Fred?
The Road to Wellness.
The Road to Wellness. This is a weird movie, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's different.
Is it a documentary or a...
No. Well, it takes place in the late 1800s. The main character's last name is Kellogg's, and they do... He's a physical fitness nut. He runs a sanitarium. Yeah. And I've watched it 3 or 4 times and enjoyed it every time I watch it. Find new things in it. Did you find it there?
I'm looking for it right now. I've been having I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but I've been having some performance problems throughout this meeting. So I've just been being very careful what I do to wellness. So I'm typing at times.
Well, I think Jane Fonda's in it. And I don't remember who else is in it.
Oh, this is a 1994 movie? This isn't the movie I thought it was.
Sounds right.
Oh, wait. Is this The Road
that
to...
That sounds about right.
Wellville? Is that it?
Yeah.
Road to Wellville. With Bridget Fonda, Matthew Broderick, Anthony Hopkins, John Cusack. Have I got the right one?
Yeah, good cast.
A staunch advocate of healthy living, John Harvey Kellogg opens a sanitarium and promotes his progressive, if eccentric, ideas about optimal well-being. Is this the movie about bowel movements, if I remember right?
Yeah, that's,
I think so.
That's the one.
All right, this is a great movie, and it's kind of... It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek history of the Kellogg's company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great movie, if I remember it. Yeah. Road to Wellville. Well, that's a great recommendation. You got anything else there, Fred?
Yeah. One called The Imitation Game, and that was supposed to be based on a true story about Turing, I believe the gentleman's name was.
Alan Turing,
that created
That's a great movie.
Created a computer in the 1940s, I think it was.
Yeah, to crack the Nazi code.
Yeah, very impressive story, isn't it? He's really the one that gets the credit for figuring out how to crack those code devices. I don't remember the name of those devices that the Nazis were using.
The Enigma.
The Enigma machine.
That's right, the Enigma machine. Yeah, and it's just amazing. And then his personal story is one that if you don't know Alan Turing, Alan Turing's really well known in tech circles, but most people aren't aware of him other than him being the one behind the computer that cracked the codes. His personal life is just tragic, the way he was treated because of the way his sexual preferences there in England, how they treated him at the time. Mm-hmm. He's almost written out of a history book.
For a while he was.
Third one I've got was the New Midway movie.
Movie.
Yeah, Midway.
Midway. Is that the war movie?
Yep, about the Japanese and the Americans and the carrier fleets and this and that around Midway during 1942, if I remember. It's a remake of, if I remember right, the original had John Wayne in it, or was that In Harm's Way? And In Harm's Way was a great movie also.
In Harm's Way as well.
Canada Netflix gives it 4.5 stars, the new Midway movie.
I'm trying to remember if I got to see that. Maybe I know it only because of the commercials. Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Midway, 2019 film.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that I have seen this movie yet. I might add that to my watch list. Hey, I've got a great movie that we just watched on Netflix that's brand new. It's called Hard Love. It's comedy. It's a romantic comedy about two people that meet online and catfish each other. I mean, they essentially build profiles to ensnare each other, and neither one of them have either of the qualities that they were using. Like, the story really is that he couldn't get any responses from the dating app, and so he made up a person that with pictures and background that would get responses. But then she wanted to date somebody like that, so she made up responses that were not her responses, just so that she could date, so she could match with somebody like that. And it's a Christmas movie. I don't think it's R-rated, but what's really clever about it is you're always on the edge of thinking they're going to push it to just ridiculousness. And I have to say, just about everything that we were laughing out loud about is a very believable scenario. It didn't get into that ridiculous humor that you find from like a Coen Brothers or something about Mary, something like a Will Ferrell movie. It always had the potential of going over the edge and didn't. It just teetered right below, well, that's ridiculous. And it came off feeling very genuine and very funny. It's got some actors in it. You might recognize the comedian. It's what's his name? I think it's Jimmy O. That's funny. He doesn't even get top billing. Oh yeah, Jimmy O Yang. Jimmy O Yang. And you may have seen him in some other stuff. It seems like I became aware of him on that Silicon Valley sitcom that was on Amazon Prime. But he has just turned into a real kind of deadpan comedian. I think he's Korean, or no, he's Chinese. He's Hong Kong. But he's got a real kind of deadpan style to being Chinese American and his topics. And just a very funny movie, very easy recommendation. It's called Hard Love, and it's on Netflix right now. I think it's a Netflix original, so you should be able to see it anywhere that Netflix is. Fred, you should be able to see it in Costa Rica, I'm sure. And it's a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie, so it's time appropriate.
I have a question about Amazon Prime.
Okay.
I look at Amazon Prime and I look at a movie. Oh, let me click on that. Oh, that's $27 or something like that. How about an old episode of I Love Lucy? Oh, I can watch that for $4. I thought Amazon Prime had free movies.
Well, they do.
Because I'm a Prime member.
But what they also have is a marketplace to buy stuff. And so they integrate it.
I've never found a free anything on Amazon Prime media-wise.
Well, what pops up on the home screen? In fact, Paul, while you're looking at the Amazon app for watching videos, look for the ones that have a flag, like a dog ear corner, and it will say Prime, with Prime. And those are the ones that if you're paying for Prime, you're allowed to watch.
Oh, okay. I'll have to do that. Yeah. I have another question. Has anybody else watch The Norseman
That is a funny show.
I'm ready to watch it again.
I think one of you, if it wasn't you, Paul, it was somebody else in our group, described it as Monty Python doing Vikings.
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Yeah.
Carolyn and I are watching a Prime series, and it's called Why Women Kill. I don't know if anybody's mentioned it on the club before, but it's pretty good. We're into the second season now, so it's good.
I think that is there two seasons or is there three on there? I'm not sure.
There's because three now. I don't know if they're all on Prime, but there's three of them now.
Oh, yeah. I think I finished the first two, and then I started the third one, but I haven't been on Amazon Prime in a month, so I'll have to go and
Hear they're on Prime. Here we had to watch it using Streamio.
Maybe that's what I did. I can't remember, but you know, it's been since we left home a month ago.
So we're halfway through the second season. I'm sorry, Cheryl, go ahead.
We're in Vegas and thinking of going to a movie, and we've got two to choose from. And one is Dune, which Bill has been watching on Stremio, but we might go and do in the theater as well. And the other is the new Ghostbusters, which, as an aside, was filmed in Alberta. My goddaughter is a Ghostbusters fiend. She goes to all the Comic Cons and everything, and when she's at these, she often is dressed up in her ghostbusting outfit. She's got all the equipment and everything because her husband works in a company that makes props. He has a degree in drama in the props department kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And they have the most amazing costumes, and they've really gotten into this Ghostbusters scene. So
that is how old is
looking forward to seeing that one.
This is your granddaughter?
Goddaughter.
Goddaughter.
She's 41.
Oh, okay. 41. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then of course she can appreciate all of that. It's when I was a teenager, my buddy and I dressed up as Ghostbusters in high school for a Halloween costume, and his dad was an electrical engineer. And so we built busting packs. I remember we used these tubs that are used for bathing babies, you know, just a plastic tub the size of an infant for bathing them, and we painted them black and put a board across them and then filled them up with lights. And then we had weapons that were had a hose back to it, and you'd pull the trigger and it would flash lights out the end. And we got honorable mention at our high school for our costumes.
Oh, they've won things at Comic-Con and different outfits that she's put together. She often goes as female superheroes and it has all of the gadgets and things like that. Their house, Halloween, amazing kind of stuff.
I think you're going to have to make that decision in the moment, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Because those are two different spectrums of entertainment.
But it's to decide which day has the best offers, because Tuesday is offers for everybody, but Monday and Wednesdays is seniors' offers, and our points get us discounts in different theaters on different days. So it's just to decide which day we're going to which one. But we're working on it. We're moving today back downtown for 3 nights, and we're moving to another condo for 3, and then we're back in this place for our last 2 nights in Vegas. So it's out of the suitcase, 10 days, and a lot of changes. So we'll get her in there.
Just as a note, we stayed at Cheryl's goddaughter's place one time, and in the bedroom was a fake air register with the alien chest buster monster, whatever, coming out of it in full detail.
Above our heads on
your head. Blood, gore, the whole works. It was awesome.
You'd love it.
That's wild. Yeah, next time we need pictures. You guys need to show us some pictures.
There you go. Well, if anybody's sees me on Facebook, she's often on there with different things too. So they also, she loves puns. He absolutely hates them. So we often have to, you know, poke at Michael with the puns. So yeah, a lot of fun. Anyways, I'm out of here. It's been great. I actually really, really, really appreciate that our computer club talks about TV, phone, movies, everything technology related, and I'm just going to say that.
Or otherwise.
I got one more movie if you're interested.
Okay, right, Fred.
The Art of Racing in the Rain.
The Art of Racing in the Rain. That sounds familiar,
Bill,
but I don't remember
saying
it.
Yes.
That's a chick flick almost, but tearjerker to boot. It's an awesome movie.
All right. Yeah.
A dog lovers, I think, too. Hey,
yeah.
Okay.
Golden retriever.
Well, cool. I may add that to my watch list. You guys know that I maintain a list on Track of these movies. If you're looking for a list of all our movies that we've recommended and shows, I've done things like you can type movies.sccclub.org and it will go straight to that list. Or you can type books.sccclub.org or tv.sccclub.org and it'll take you to the lists of these recommendations. So if you find yourself looking, you're wondering, what should we watch? You might check out our list of movies we've been talking about. It's
and extensive. One of the things that is so easy to share, and we really appreciate you doing that, Scott. You
well,
keep us going.
All right. Well, let's come to an end. This has been a great meeting. It's nice that you four are still with me, but we've got other things to do today, don't we? Cheryl's about to leave, and I've got work to go do. So it's been a blast. Until next Tuesday, you guys tech on.
We got gambling to do. We got to win another royal before we leave.
You got that important stuff to do.
Yeah.
All right.
One royal is $1,000. We need one more.
See you next Tuesday, guys. Hasta luego. Adios. Bye, Jim. Well, there you have it. It's the San Carlos Computer Club with your favorite and interminable host, Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. I am online and I also work locally. If you've got computers issues you're trying to resolve, get a hold of me. I'm at internationalcs.net. You can contact me, scott@internationalcs.net. We're on Facebook. We've got our own website. You can find me on LinkedIn if you're one of those. So there's a lot I can do, even if I'm not there with you physically. I can do a lot remotely, and I can help you. So if you're local, you can call my cell, 855-8299. Don't forget the area code, and if you've got an American phone, the country code as well. So the full number would be +52-622-588. Did I just say that wrong? No, 855-8299. You guys have a good afternoon and tech on.